Blog Talk Radio.
To the man's voice. And here on Super Bowl Sunday, I know that everyone is out looking at the game or going to parties or whatever it is that you need to be doing today to enjoy the Super Bowl. As such, the panel is all out doing what they need to do to have fun today also, so they're not going to be in. And what we're going to be listening to today is a previous show. So we're going to play the show that was on the 22nd of January. So enjoy. You're listening to
Well, good evening and welcome to the Man's Voice. We're here, the whole panel is here waiting to get started and talk about this. There's been a lot going on this past week. And first of all, we want to thank all of the people who are putting football to the side to listen to us. Green Bay and Atlanta, I understand Atlanta is
hello.
Right now. I think he's still up, but we'll talk about it as we get farther in. But there's been so much activity in the news and going on in America. I would start off, let's talk about the inauguration first. I was a little, what I got out of the inauguration was, the part where all the past presidents that were attending was sitting on the stage, and Trump said this thing about, the people in the past didn't do anything for the people, but I'm going to do everything for people. It was like he threw everyone under the bus, and all these guys were sitting on stage with him. What do you think about that, Bruce? Did you see that? I thought it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I watched pretty much the whole inauguration ceremony there. It's kind of Trump's trial. He didn't think it out. It could have been taken as insulting. I don't think he meant it that way, but I agree with you that I don't think I would have said that with your ex-president sitting right there next to you. I would have couched it a little differently, I think.
Let me also tell everyone who's listening that we have a new panel member that joins us today. His name is John. He is in Michigan. John is an entrepreneur, but he is also going to be part of this as we talk. So what do you think about the inauguration, John?
Well, David, I'll tell you, I watched it pretty much from the beginning and all the way to the probably one of the last balls that just ended around midnight. And it's no secret for me. The minute he came down the escalator, I was a Trump fan. The reason why for me was not because he was a Republican, but mostly because he was a businessman. And for the country to be $20 trillion in debt, you had mentioned throwing all the other presidents under the bus. But no other president really had gotten on top of that. And I think another president or a Clinton was going to be able to have the skills and the knowledge. It's going to take a businessman. I mean, I can't run my business like he ran the country. If he did, I'd be out of business and selling all my stuff. And for me, it wasn't so much as Republican, Democrat as the candidates. And that's what it basically came down to. For so many years, for me, I've heard everybody, a lot of friends, we need to clean the swamp. We need to get rid of these career politicians, guys who have been here for 40 years, never held any other type of job besides being, a politician. And so when Trump announced his candidacy, it's like, you know what, this is what you've all been crying for. You have exactly what you're asking for. But then all of a sudden, nobody had the guts to stand behind it. And so as I sit here with my Trump hat on, drinking a nice Chardonnay, watching the football game, I'm optimistic as to what's going to be happening in 2 years.
What do you think about that, Ron?
Well, where do I start? I think his speech, and I did watch it, by the way, from beginning to end. I think it was very divisive, and we've all heard that already many times, I'm sure. I think his choice of words was not very smart, but then again, you know, true to Trump style, he says what he wants to say, and he doesn't care what people really think about it. It's interesting to note that out of all the past presidents that were sitting there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard this, that not one of them voted for Trump. And to me, that says something. And also, the fact that he is a businessman, and if I could add the word crook, crooked, you know, he always said crooked Hillary, but I think he's been a crooked businessman. Personally, that's just my opinion. I don't think that's going to make any bit of difference in getting the economy turned around. And I think turned around, I think we're doing pretty good, actually. So I say that, I use that word turn around very loosely, because I think we're already headed in the right direction. And I don't know really that him being a businessman is going to make any differences. Remember, there's a Congress that has to basically approve everything. He can't do anything unilaterally and get away with it. He's just one man, so, you know, he's got that to deal with. And, I just think he came across as very divisive. He attacked the media from the get-go, which I don't think was very smart. I think he's going to be in for some tough, probably first 120 days at least.
All right. What about you, Don? Where are you on this inauguration yesterday? John just brought. So I don't think it's anyway, Don, where are you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome John. Is his name John?
Yes, but I don't think he's there. He's John. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to welcome. Anyway, but. The mention of him being a businessman was pretty good. I mean, at first I thought when he first announced, I thought he might be pretty good as a businessman, because I thought that we needed someone with business savvy in the White House. But when he opened up his mouth, I quickly understood what I was hearing was a man with no character. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaker. The businessman element did not even faze me anymore, because money is money, and if you compromise money for character, I don't particularly like that. Any man that has a fat house like he has, what I mean by that is, family members, children, son-in-laws, and so forth, controlling 20 different businesses in 20 different countries, you didn't file your income. You have two-thirds of the governors in the United States are Republican. You will choose 2 to 3 Supreme Court justices that will control and impact my life for the rest of my life. And then you have control of the Senate. You have control of the House of Representatives. You also have ability in the title as the president of the most powerful country in the world. Dictatorship. It's not democracy. And how do you treat that? Tell me a lot about you. And thus far, he has not shown me any democracy. And another thing, you don't attack the media the way he has attacked the media. I've been in the media for over 40 years, and he doesn't know he's a freaking giant, which Nixon found that out when he was in his presidency. Donald Trump will soon find out what the media is all about. Mark my word.
Bruce, where are you on this?
But guys, yeah, but guys, come on. Do you really think that I'm generalizing here? Do you really think that the mainstream media has been fair to both sides, say, in the last 8 years? I don't, and I don't have to pick a side to make that statement. I think they've been slanted and opinionated, and that's not really what I want the press or the media to do. I want them to give me as best they can unabridged information. Let me make my own decision. Isn't that what you want?
I think it goes both ways, because it depends what media you're referring to. If you watch Fox, you know, that's very right slanted. So, you know, it depends. It works both ways, Bruce.
I agree. I don't want either one of them to slant left.
Just a reminder, you're listening to one of the previous shows on The Man's Voice. This show was a couple of weeks ago. So for all the viewers out there or listeners who are listening to or watching the Super Bowl, this will give you a chance to listen to us and do both. I think the Super Bowl will start in about 20 minutes. So those of you that are listening, this, once again, is a previously recorded show. We usually like you to call in. But at this show today, because of the Super Bowl, the panel is all doing what they need to do to have fun. So once again, let's listen to the show as what was going on.
So that's my embarrassment with that. When you don't communicate with people, communicate in a threatening manner, then you're creating a fight. And if you create a fight, then you'll be in a situation that someone mentioned Nixon. Now, by the way, I had a guy who was involved with Nixon, who worked with Nixon, who was a spy for the newspaper people, for Jack Anderson, et cetera, because of the same issue that we're talking about. When you create that type of hostility and loyalty or non-loyalty, then you're going to have saboteurs and people that are waiting to entrap you. So I'm embarrassed by the country. I think that the reason why we're in debt is not because, it's because we as a nation like to get into wars. We like to fight. That's our thing. And you know, we didn't have, I guess, video games and stuff to do fighting with, so we created our own personal armies. We go out and jump into different wars. We support dictators. We support bad people. We support anybody that has to do with our business interests. Whether our business interests are just... it's a total embarrassment to me with part of our population. And how to treat one another. And the Johnson Leadership Board is our current president of the United States, who, by the way, the reason why I had to watch it, I was overdoing a Christian act at a meeting with one of my parishioners, fellow parishioners, and they had the TV on, and instead of me keeping him in the meeting or leaving, and he would have stayed with me in the meeting because I was helping. I decided to go to the living room where his wife was and join them. And they knew my personal feelings because I stated it at the time. But Trump did not smile at all. And in the hallway, by the time he got there, he looked like he was in a foul nature, a foul state. He gave the worst speech that I've heard any president give, or any leader give. If he was Mad Dog Mattis talking to the Marines, he would not have communicated the way he did. He would not, let's put it this way, I'm in the military, spent 30 years. He would not have talked to me that way and expected any positive outcome. Okay? The only situation
situation that would necessitate his type of communication style would have been a critical situation where someone was getting ready to fly an airplane with a nuclear bomb on a building, which would have necessitated that type of communications that he used at the fifth of day to communicate with the audience. So I'm very offended by him. I never disliked him until he came down that escalator and started talking about Hispanic people that are in our country. I get I'm very sensitive to anyone who communicates in the style that he does that happens to border on racism or racial profiling or racial language. And that's because I grew up during the time that Martin Luther King was being severely beaten by dogs. So I don't take any F off of anybody. Never have. And I would not show up at the White House to receive an award from him. I would be embarrassed by any piece of paper that had his name on it. And I would fail to let anyone know that I was an American and I was traveling, which I do, in a foreign country. I would not want to attract negative attention to myself.
All right, but John, you got disconnected when you were talking about the recent thing. I think there are a couple of people saying that they would like to hear what you were about to say.
Well, sorry about that. I'm a rookie at this technology stuff.
Oh, I know. But you get a pass.
In regards to the Nixon thing, is, you know, in his fight with the media, he didn't have Twitter back in the day when Nixon was president. And so, you know, the internet hadn't been invented by Al Gore at that point. So, it's one of those things where, you got to give the guy a chance. I mean, going back to where, you had said that, that Congress can limit what he can do in regards to what he can do, how he can do it. And after watching this Million Women's March yesterday, I'm still really trying to gouge my eyes out from some of the visions I saw on TV and some of the pictures. He's been president for 2 days. People haven't lost their rights. Gays and lesbians haven't been thrown out buildings. It hasn't gotten any warmer. It hasn't gotten any colder, in regards to climate change. So, it's just one of them things. You've got to give them a chance. We all gave Obama a chance. As a business owner, I was insulted when he came out and said, I didn't build that. I've been a business owner in Michigan for 28 years. My first 3 years in business was a complete nightmare. I was in debt as much as anybody could have been in debt. And one morning I woke up and said, you know what, I'm either going to make this work or I'm going to go and work for somebody. And I just did not want to work for somebody. And so I made the decision, if I was going to make this work. And I think, you can say how he talks, you can say how he speaks, you can say how he acts, but, you got to give him a chance. It's been 2 days. The world hasn't ended, so that's about all about that.
Well,
John, I have a question, please. Let me have a question, please. John, I realize that you're new, and what I'm hearing from you is totally unagreeable to me. I am also a Christian. My question to you is, did you give President Barack Obama a chance when Michigan was about to lose its number one industry in the world, the automotive industry? Did you give President Barack Obama a chance when the automotive industry and the housing industry was crashing in Detroit and Michigan? Did you give him a chance?
Well, what you have to realize is that a lot of federal stuff didn't have to do with what was happening in Michigan. That was a lot of Senator Granholm that ran the state into the ground. Now, let's talk president. I have 7 GM vehicles in my driveway and garage right now. Just bought another one. I am so loyal to GM that, when they went through bankruptcy, and no disclaimer here, my parents and my family, dad, 2 uncles, they all work for General Motors. I don't know if you recognize the name, but Roy Roberts, president of Pontiac Motors, former GM employee, I backed him when, and actually I did a lot of work for him. He was a customer of mine along with Jack Smith. I was working at Roy Roberts' house the day he got banned from Bloomfield Hills Country Club. And Roy came in, anything you want, anything you ever need. Roy got me one of the first Trans Ams off the assembly line. So as it comes to the automotive industry, you got to believe with my family's pension, I was 100% whatever it was going to take to do to save, the auto industry. As for the housing, I'm in construction. So I've seen the bubble. I mean, I have seen the downturn. I have seen I've seen customers lose their houses. I've seen customers, but you also then have to look at Dodd-Frank, that a lot of these people could buy houses who couldn't afford them. So did I stand behind Obama? Listen, on Monday or Friday after his inauguration, I wasn't out burning cars and smashing windows. I went to work, and that's what we did. Did I give him a chance? I gave him a chance at the fact that I did not go out. I say he wasn't my president. Did I give him a chance? Absolutely. Did I give him a chance during Obamacare? Absolutely. Until I started seeing my friends who lost their health. This $20 million, sure, who's paying for that? I with the $20 million, I really would like to see some stats. I don't believe it's that high. I have a really good friend right now who's going through colon cancer, stage 4. My same family doctor, when I asked him, how come you're not seeing Dr. Tim anymore? And he says, because Obamacare wouldn't allow it. I happened to be at a foot specialist. I took my parents there for a foot doctor appointment. And a Vietnam veteran comes in, barely can walk. He wants to have an appointment to have his foot looked at. And they said, I'm sorry, sir, you have to go to the Veterans Administration because we do not accept that type of insurance. And he says, I've gone there 2 or 3 times. I just can't get in. So, I've seen it. I've seen GM. I've seen what happens to the housing. And I can tell you right now, as a business owner, I have not seen the industry and the confidence that are out there right now since really the dot-com era. The Bill Clinton era. So, I mean, people are spending money. I've never seen people. I've had my best year that I had in the last 7 years, and I've been doing this for 28 years. I have not seen the kind of consumer confidence that I am seeing right now with people, what they're building. I'm lucky. I deal with the top 3% income earners in Metro Detroit. You name them, CEOs, the big shot attorneys you see on TV, they're all customers of mine. But I also see the different houses that are being built in different areas, and I haven't seen million-dollar houses being built at the rate they're being built right now. And I, like I'm saying, I am the optimism right now out there is that something had to change. And whether it was Donald Trump, whether it was Steve Wynn, whether it was the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, it didn't matter who the name was. It was the person who wasn't a lifetime politician for me, and that's what did it for me. It could have been anybody, but I was voting for somebody who had not been in office and somebody who actually had run a company. And unless you run a company, I mean, I've had to sue customers who decided that after a certain amount of money that they paid you, they don't think they need to pay you anymore. And, so the Donald Trump being a crook, I've seen it both ways. I've seen where customers, after you do a great job, refuse to pay you anymore because they think you paid you enough. It's been 2 days. I'm willing to give them a chance. I gave Obama a chance. And like I said, I gave it right up to him where he told me that I didn't build my company because if he knew the hardships that I had to go through to get where I'm at today, nobody could sit there and tell me that I did not build that. I mean, I was on speaking tours at the age of 23. My mom had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And, I mean, I went through living hell. Now, yeah, I can pretty much buy anything I want. But nobody knows that. I don't let a lot of people know that. But tomorrow morning, I'll be out of the house at 7 a.m., and I'll be back home around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's the way it's going to go the rest of the week, regardless of who was present.
Truth.
I don't
I don't think President Barack Obama ever told you that you didn't build your company. And I think you sound just like his cabinet that Donald Trump is trying to get into positions in the United States. You sound just like them.
But wouldn't you rather have successful people in an administration who are trying to turn this country around that's $20 million in debt, opposed to a bunch of guys who just think that they're deserving, that they should be in there because they've been in Congress for 30 years? A lot of these guys have never held jobs. Joe Biden never held a job. And now he's going to get a pension and everything else. What did he do to earn basically what he's done? Barack Obama was an attorney and a community of activists. I mean, what have they done? They have absolutely no experience in running a $1 trillion economy, but yet we're supposed to, because they've served their time and they're the next one in line, that they should be deserving to get a job. And that's why Michigan turned around. We did not vote for a career politician. We voted for a nerd. We voted for a guy who was a business owner, and he has turned the state around.
All
right, who's
Donner, what's the stuff with you?
Jeremiah. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask John, what do you classify as successful?
I classify successful as being a homeowner, which is the American dream. Being able to pay your own bills, not being on assistance. I mean, you don't have. Listen, I've got this point because I told David before I even joined this, this blog here. My Facebook pages, I try to keep it down to about 125 people, because after that, I mean, it just gets ridiculous. I mean, who's got 1,000 friends, right? So,
okay.
I've got gay friends, lesbian friends. I've got gay customers. I've got lesbian customers. I have Black Americans for customers. I have Jewish Americans for customers. I have Palestinians for customers. I have Indian doctors. The way I look at it is that to be successful is the American dream is owning a house. The second thing is to be able to pay your own bills and not be on assistance. Is the government there to help people?
Obama,
that,
I believe Barack Obama has owned a house, paid his bills successfully. Raise his children. That's the American dream.
Well, actually, he just bought a house. He rented before, and then he got into the White House, and now he finally bought a house. Every vacation he went on, he was
the owner. No, he owns a house in Chicago. He's owned a house in Chicago. He's owned a house in Chicago for years. It's an older looking home for years. He has a neighborhood. They have a Secret Service protection on that house. He's owned it for years.
Guys, let's not on details that sound big but really aren't.
Well, accurate information is very important.
I agree. Accurate information is correct. And if you saw the picture of the amount of the attendance that was there, that was an incorrect photo. But CBS was a correct photo.
Let's hold up on that. I think that he was called liar, liar. The new guy was called liar, liar. His pants are on fire. As I told you, I was at Barack Obama's first inaugural. And I did look at TV and watch his inaugural. And there were pan shots from the audience that came out. And so there weren't a lot of people at his inauguration. Let's just say there were 500,000 people. Okay? Let's just say there were 750,000 people at his inauguration. That was quite significantly different. In fact, it already had been estimated that there were going to be more people at the Women's March than there were at the inauguration. Now, my friends who are hardcore Republicans, they said the reason why there wasn't as many people there at Trump's inauguration is because they go to work. In other words, insinuating that people who showed up at Barack Obama's inauguration didn't have jobs. Okay.
Oh, maybe.
So we know that, for instance, Black universities and high schools did not want to participate, for the most part, in any issue that had to deal with celebrating this particular day. Are you aware of that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that automatically tells you there's no way that Donald Trump was going to get the same crowd that brought him, because 20% of the people in the United States against Donald Trump being the president of the United States, just because.
Right.
You too. Take your breath for a minute. Let me say a couple of things here. Number one, I don't care if Barack Obama had 20 people for every one that Trump had, or if it was reversed. It showed support. That's great. That doesn't make or break an individual as far as screening the president. What I'm more concerned about, and I think Don, who said it earlier, or one of us did, that when Barack Obama first came into office, I think most of the country gave President Obama a lot of hope that he would be a superb president. And we can debate about how good his presidency was. It had some very good accomplishments, and it had some very good failures. But he had the House, the Senate, and the presidency when he started. I think a lot of people...
And you're listening to The Man's Voice. Once again, this show is a previously recorded show. A couple of weeks ago, when this show aired. And we're playing it today because most of the gentlemen who are usually on this panel with us are Super Bowl watching. And I'm sure most of you are out there doing the same thing, because my understanding is the game is just about to start. So let's go back into listening and finish. Just a reminder that there's no call-ins today, but enjoy the show. And for those of you that are leaving me now to go watch the game, enjoy the game.
Obama's inauguration didn't have jobs, okay?
Oh, maybe.
So we know that, for instance, black universities and high schools did not want to participate, for the most part, in any issue that had to deal with celebrating this particular day. Are you aware of that?
Oh, absolutely.
That doesn't make or break an individual as far as screening the president. What I'm more concerned about, and I think Don, who said it earlier, or one of us did, that when Barack Obama first came into office, I think most of the country gave President Obama a lot of hope that he would be a superb president. And we can debate about how good his presidency was. It had some very good accomplishments, and it had some very good and some very bad failures. But he had the House, the Senate, and the presidency when he started. I think a lot of people gave him a chance to at least perform, not siding with anybody, but just saying, you've got to give every president a chance to perform at least short term, and then pass your judgment. If you go strictly on the words he says, whether he's a good wordsmith or lousy with the English language, that doesn't necessarily mean near as much as his actions. I think almost all of us. Let me finish. You mean to tell me was a great orator and was a snake in the grass, pick him versus someone that's lousy with the language and performs magnificently? I don't believe that, Frank.
Let me just tell you, when you start cursing at people or say bad things, there's a thing called a shit screen, and that automatically comes raising up in front of you, and it allows you to not have good communication or relationship with that individual right from the beginning. Whereas if you have good oratory skills and you start communicating with the person, you're going to give that person a chance. You are not giving that person.
I wouldn't disagree with that, Frank. But let's say that person gets that chance and then doesn't perform well. How can you do that?
Yeah, what we're talking about is the present. The present is we have the present time. We have a person who doesn't have good communication skills and doesn't know how to win friends, okay? So he comes up and he talks to you like you're a construction worker, and somebody's going to punch you in the
neighborhood. Now there's nothing wrong with being a construction worker.
Well, I didn't say there was. I didn't say there was, but it's like being a football player. There's a certain way that you communicate with certain people. You know,
so
you
communicating with a lawyer or doctor is different than a construction worker.
No. If I go, let me just tell you something. I live in the South, but if I go out to a rural area of our South, I don't communicate like I'm in New York City or Washington, D.C., talking to a guy in Compton, California. There's a different style of communications, and that's available for me to win friends, okay? And the first thing I'm trying to do is get help. If you're trying to get help, you start off by being a nice person facilitating a relationship. All right? And if you have absolutely nothing. You don't have a country. You don't have a home because people are after destroying what you have and they don't like you.
All right, let me
put
you in. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think that was John. Go ahead.
I just don't think he's out to destroy anything. You know, he was talking to the people that elected him and, you know, the people that are in rural America who have seen their jobs go away and things like that. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't see him, you know, taking away anybody's rights. I don't see him, our butts have been kicked by China. Our butts have been kicked by Mexico in regards to a lot of these jobs. And, you know, people just want to work. And, you know, you can quote the unemployment averages and everything else, but what you also have to take into effect is there's over 1.5 million people who can't find work who have left the job force. You know, companies that are, because of Obamacare, are only hiring part-time people. And, you know, you've got to get these jobs back to the left.
And people who are privileged left underneath that were dying without medical care are now getting medical care. So
no one died by Medicare. They were still able to go to the emergency.
That is not true. Okay? If you didn't have medical care, you had no maintenance. You had no health maintenance. So the only time you went into a hospital when it was catastrophic illness. While you were all
the
way to die.
Which was the emergency room, and they didn't turn you down. And the taxpayer ended up paying more money for that type of service.
Expecting their black lung disease benefit to be in effect, that's going to go out the window with them.
Right. Well,
Ron, where do you think what's going on across the world? All these countries are protesting for.
I would say that they're protesting against Trump. They're just they just don't want to lose the right that they fought so hard for so many decades. For example, you know, the woman's right to choose as an example. Not necessarily. I don't think they're necessarily marching against Trump, although that's certainly the implication. But I think in terms of leadership, you know, obviously Great Britain is always going to be a strong and friend of the United States, no matter who's president. But
the Prime Minister for Great Britain just came out saying that she wanted to, she was concerned about the president of the United States. So,
well, definitely Trump has raised a lot of eyebrows around the world because, you know, he makes statements without really thinking them through. But my optimism lies in the fact that even though he may not be an eloquent speaker, he's got no diplomatic background whatsoever. You know, there are other people in his cabinet that you know, hopefully will not be as ignorant and not let you know, the relationships that we've established over so many years with other countries you know, just in the next 4 years just go by the wayside and deteriorate because, you know, I said this during the last show, I think, the U.S., the world does not revolve around the U.S. The U.S. is just a small country. I mean, 340 million, 350 million, whatever the number is, out of 7 billion people in the world. So the world does not revolve around the U.S. Yes,
not anymore.
The biggest power in the world. However, you know, that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want and get away with it. It's not that simple.
Okay, so here's a question.
But if we're giving them foreign aid, then you've got to look at it that way, too.
The question I have is, it seems that all the protests were really about equality and human rights. So around the world, is the United States now taking on the persona as we're not, we don't have equality in the United States, and human rights is not here, so... what do we look like to everybody else in the world? What do you think we look like, Jeremiah? What do you think the United States now looks like to the rest of the world? Because all these protests are going on, they're for equality, they're for human rights, they're for all the people, but they're protesting for us because they think that we don't have that in the United States, and if that's true, what do we look like to the rest of the world right now? What do you think, Jeremiah?
Like John said, it's only been 2 days, but we look pretty bad. To me, we look pretty bad. With all the women protesting around the world, that shows you of the possible effect that Trump could have with all the issues as far as... So, matter of fact, the horrible things he said against, you know, Hispanics and, you know, that's a large concern. Because we have a large, even in Miami, we have a large population of Hispanics. So a lot of people took that as what he said. It was horrible. I mean,
okay.
But
Bruce, what do you think we look like to the rest of the world? At one time, this is what everybody wanted to come. We were the angels of the world. What is it? We've changed. What do you think we now look like?
Well, I think a lot of people are watching us bicker among ourselves right now that we're dysfunctional parent couple right now, if you want to use that parallel. And we've been looked to as kind of a little more, but I also agree that we're just one player. We're not at the top, the bottom. We're one of many, but they still look to us for some leadership. And I think there's a number of people that are still waiting and watching. Probably don't like the fact that we've got a government now that's more concerned about what they look like and who's to blame than getting things done. You don't think the rest of the world sees that? I've talked to some people that I know overseas, and that you hear that we don't know how to function anymore. So they're waiting and watching to see what this new presidential group will do. A lot of them are not forming any agreements yet. And I've just been one who's always tried to give anybody a chance, whether I agree with their philosophies or not. Show me what you're going to do. Show me your action. Then I'll form an opinion. I'll form it very quickly, good or bad. But words, as several of the other panelists said, words are important, and I agree. Words should be picked carefully because they do hurt or support or divide, but they aren't the end all. The end all is, what are you going to do with this country, and how are you going to serve all the people in the country? And I think John might have said it, or that one of the biggest things going to cure a whole lot of ills is that people get to go back to work. That's not only an income, but it goes to the core of your psyche, about your self-pride, about how you provide for your family, all of that. And we've got too many people that aren't working. I'm not pointing that's all Obama's fault. He's part to blame. Other presidents are part to blame. I don't care who's to blame. Let's get it better than it is right now. And it's this bickering back and forth that people are just finally, and I'm glad, tired of. Get the job done.
What do you think it looks like?
Hey, look, this is Brian. I think we've got ourselves set up in the wrong position, okay? The job is, it's not about jobs, all right? That's what the people who elected Mr. Trump are about, jobs. Jobs are just a small aspect. We don't go to church about money and jobs. We go to church about godly things, okay? And jobs would just give us respect, etc. So my point in this matter is that if you put your priorities in a job and that allows you to trash someone else, okay, or you get a first lady who's got pictures on the internet that's depicted with another woman. I mean, we sacrifice the right things for money.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Nobody said that a job just gives you money. My job is.
Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice, and this is a show, a previously recorded show, because of the Super Bowl Sunday events that are going on, and the panel is all out celebrating and doing their thing, so we hope you're enjoying it. There are no call-ins right now today, but again, enjoy the previously recorded show. We'll be back next week at 6 o'clock to bring you more.
Okay. And guess what? If you want my cooperation, speak to me, better man.
But the problem is, the government doesn't produce. Okay? The only way the government can spend any money is by people working and tax base.
Let me
very important.
I'm familiar with the government does, all right? The government protects our butts. Okay? That's the first thing the government does. It protects our butts. It protects our
government.
It provides us, it facilitates us having clean, fresh drinking water.
No, okay? It doesn't. It's not a natural, that is not a God-given right. Okay? I mean, that's where, free water, free health care, free everything. No, you have to have people.
I didn't say about free. What I was trying to tell you is, if you don't have a government, then you typically won't have an organized water system. I lived in Alaska as a child. We didn't have electricity because there was no government to provide that electricity. We had a private citizen providing it, and that meant if he decided he didn't want to put it on the right hand side of the street, he didn't have electricity on the right hand side of the street. So
when the country was first founded,
what happened in Flint, Michigan?
Well, you want to know what happened in Flint, Michigan? Let me tell you what happened in Flint, Michigan. The city council of Flint, Michigan decided that it would try to save money and tie into a pipeline. That city manager did not come in until after they made that decision. And if you look at it,
it was appointed by a governor, emergency, a manager.
Wrong. If you actually take the time, read the actual indictments coming down, you will see exactly whose name is on there.
I'm from Flint, Michigan. I know what's happening.
Really?
I had a lot to do with the current mayor in power right now, Karen Weaver. I know what's happening.
Who's that crook? She also sided with the city council to save money and tap off and pull water out of the Flint River.
Oh my God.
They could have continued to take that water.
There are two names that I want you to remember.
These are two names I want you to remember that are in the paperwork in regards to where all of this happened and all of the corruption. Sam Riddle and Kwame Kilpatrick.
Man, what are you talking about? Those are the same systems in New York City, Washington D.C. And guess what? Nobody's paid any money to have them replaced because we're all cheap butts. So what we got is we got kids drinking bad water, and that problem exists in every city in the United States of America. Bridges are falling down because we like to fight wars instead of putting our money into our infrastructure.
Right. There are Flint, Michigans all over the United States. And yeah, we've been out there putting money into infrastructure forever, but we haven't done it.
We've been putting it into the water.
You cannot take a water system away from something that has worked to save money and go into a system that hasn't been used and pull water out of the Flint River. It can't be done.
I'm telling you. The Republican governor in the state of Michigan.
Will you listen? Absolutely.
The Republican governor appointed emergency managers that had full authority over the city council and the people of Flint, Michigan. They decided, in order to save money, that they would have people drink out of the Flint River, which was poisoned. And I never drank out of Flint River as a kid, but they decided to drink out of the Flint River. And the thing is, city managers had nothing to do with it. City and council people had nothing to do with it. It was the city managers. I'm telling you, the governor and
the governor, the city manager, he wanted to save money.
He just killed a few people in the process.
He had no control over the city of Flint. It was the city council and the city mayor. How can the governor
the
of
the city council has no authority
to tell you that he
was
hogging your water?
The authority was all invested in the governor's appointee who took control of the city and the city council.
Have you seen this?
Hey, John, you know, so I can't believe you live in the state of Michigan and are so inept about this situation.
That city of Flint problem. The city of Flint wants to have their water or whatever they want to do with it. That's the city of Flint problem. Why should the rest of the people in the have to use their tax dollars to pay for somebody else's mistake because they ran their government in a deficit?
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
And this is the same thing I hear in church. People should be taken care of, but not with the state money. They should be taken care of with people's personal money, which means I'm not going to take care of them. That's what it really means. Okay? So we go there and profess to be good people, be good citizens, be good Christians, be good Muslims, but we don't want to do all our excess funds that we have because we live pretty good. All right?
And then we ask ourselves
why, you know, I was reading a statistic the other day. Attica Prison in New York had 12,500 people when the last time they had a big riot. They now have 75,000 people in prison.
Okay, gentlemen, we have only have like a minute left, so I want to thank John our new panelist.
Sorry to meet you, John. It's such a harsh word.
Thank you.